Blog Talk Radio.
On this episode of the Fantasy Flex, we'll talk third-year receivers with Fantasy Pros and RotoViz contributor Eric Moody. Then we'll dive into Brad's rules for Fantasy Draft Day. Stay tuned. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter at Miller_RotoDad. Where can the people find you, Mr. Brad Wallace?
They can find me at UGA Good on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
All right. Brad, let's jump right into things with our guest today, Mr. Eric Moody. How's it going, man?
Things are going very, very well. You know, I appreciate you guys having me on the show this afternoon. But, you know, one thing that I thought about, I looked at the calendar, and I was like, it keeps inching closer and closer to the start of training camp. It's my favorite part of the year.
That's right. Good call there. I definitely like baseball myself, so I'm always excited in the summer, but football is right around the corner. Now, Eric, we have you on today to discuss a recent article you did for Fantasy Pros covering third-year wide receivers. A lot of people look for those breakouts from receivers in the third year, and I'm guessing you definitely subscribe to that theory, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I always try to identify players for where, you know, they come into the league as a rookie. It's obviously a lot to learn, a lot to absorb, and to really see how they're going to make that jump from year two, but most importantly to year three. And I know two big names going in, you know, this time last year were DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen, and we saw the success that they had on the field in 2015.
Sure. And the headliner on your list this year has got to be from the New York Giants, Odell Beckham. Skimming over your article here, man, I've noticed you even had the bold projection to say he could possibly surpass Antonio Brown by the end of the year and be the number one fantasy receiver in the league. Tell us why you're so big on Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Odell Beckham, yeah, obviously a familiar name to a lot of fantasy players out there. But, you know, the big thing with Odell Beckham, you know, considering his age, you know, he's only been in the league for two seasons. He's only played, you know, 27 career games, 1,831 snaps, and he's ended up generating 2.28 fantasy points per touch. The, you know, on that prediction, you know, the one thing that really drove me to Beckham, you know, to top Antonio Brown was, you know, Ben McAdoo's offense. Now, the Giants last year, which I thought was fascinating, you know, tied the Patriots for the most passing touchdowns at 36 last year. The Giants ended up scoring points on 32.2% of their drives. And so, obviously, that comfort level with McAdoo, you know, going into, you know, year three with him with the Giants, you know, that's only going to be a benefit, you know, for Odell Beckham. And considering his age, you know, the low number of games that he played, you know, I do feel that entering his third year, you know, we're going to see, you know, him enter his prime.
All right. Our Brad Wallace has taken a look at his wide receiver rankings. He's still got Antonio Brown at that top spot, but Beckham is backing him up at number two. Brad, do you see a scenario, the possibility, where Beckham passes Brown by the end of this upcoming season?
Oh, I think there's definitely a chance it could happen. I mean, especially if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt and misses a, you know, a significant amount of games. You look at how Antonio Brown struggled when Ben was hurt last year. A scenario like that could easily give Odell Beckham the, you know, wide open number one overall wide receiver. And you look at who Odell Beckham has, you know, alongside him, you know, in a rookie in Sterling Shepard and a potential Victor Cruz being healthy and returning. I think both of those weapons, you know, just make that passing attack even more explosive and make it even easier for Odell Beckham to thrive and maybe see a few less double teams every now and then. So, yeah, I could see Odell Beckham being that number one receiver, but I still have Antonio Brown number one.
All right. Let's move on to I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, no, I'll just add like another quick point. Yeah, I definitely agree with, you know, the things that we're mentioning. You know, with adding Sterling Shepard, And, you know, to that offense is going to take the heat, you know, off of Odell Beckham. But, you know, another thing, too, which, you know, kind of adds to that case with him overtaking Antonio Brown, you know, would end up being the lack of a running game that the Giants have. I know they were playing, you know, carousel with the running backs last year and never really found, at least someone never really took the bull by the horns, you know, of the running back spot with the Giants. But also want to factor in, too, the division, you know, that they play in with the NFC East. You know, they tend to have a high number of high-scoring games. And so it's going to be a lot of points that are put up. So I think that only adds, you know, to that prediction, you know, that Odell Beckham, you know, can take over Brown, you know, the number one fantasy wide receiver this year.
All right, all right. Quick question. One last thing about Brown, Beckham here. Neither one of you guys are going to let him fall out of the top five picks of your fantasy drafts, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, you want to snag a guy like Beckham within the top five picks. You know, I will tell you, if for some reason, you know, he ends up flipping to the latter part of the first round, especially if you're closer to being at the turn, you know, just imagine starting off with, like, Odell Beckham, and if he has the possibility to get, you know, like, a Gronk in the early second round, or even if Dez Bryant drops, you know, that's a 1-2 punch that, you know, I'd love to have on any team.
Oh, most definitely. You're in agreement with that, right, Brad?
Oh, yeah. He's a bona fide top five pick in any format.
All right. Moving on to another receiver going into his third year down in Jacksonville. This guy blew up in his sophomore season. I think he's probably going to see some regression down there with the Jaguars, and there's a reason for that. But that's a conversation for a different day. Allen Robinson, Eric, how do you see his 2016 playing out?
Yeah, I think it'll end up playing out very well. I know you kind of hit on some points for where kind of the talk out there is that, you know, it's no way that Allen Robinson is going to be able to catch, you know, 14 touchdown passes, you know, for 2016. You know, so we'll definitely want to acknowledge the elephant in the room. You know, his numbers are going, you know, to regress. But I think one thing that's often being overlooked with Jacksonville is that even though they added Chris Ivory, you know, and they've got TJ Yeldon there, is that their strength on offense is still going to be the passing game. You know, they've got Hearns, you know, they've got Robinson, they've got Julius Thomas. And so I still see a scenario where a guy like Allen Robinson is only going to get better entering his third year. But on top of that, he's in a contract year too. So, you know, he's in a position, if he continues that momentum, to really land himself a career-defining payday. And I think that's going to be motivation enough in addition to continuing that momentum. But I can easily see a projection for a guy like Allen Robinson. Even if he doesn't catch 14 touchdown passes, I can see him easily catching 10. And then he should be targeted anywhere from, 135 to 140 targets. I can see him pulling down about 82 receptions. And he can still top nearly 1,300 yards in receiving. So that's still going to justify his ADP as a solid wide receiver one, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Jacksonville down there could definitely find themselves putting up some garbage time points, being in some shootouts in the fourth quarter. I don't think that defense is going to hold many teams from scoring, and that was what opened up a lot of those passing yards in the fourth quarters of last season for the Jaguars. Now, Brad, I see Allen Robinson at number 7 on your wide receiver rankings list. Care to move him up or down, or do you like him where he's at?
I mean, I like him where he's at in my rankings right now. I do agree there will be some touchdown regression, but I could see him catching 10 touchdowns and still being effective. I feel like he's going to go just a few picks too early for me. If he falls a little bit, I might be on him more. But I do like wide receivers in contract years too, because I think there is that external motivation. They want to get paid, and you know, that's a big factor for me. So I wouldn't be surprised if Allen Robinson, you know, finished in the top five in wide receivers. But for me, I'm keeping him outside the top five right now.
All right.
Yeah,
moving down that
agree with that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, my friend.
So we're pretty much in agreement on the Allen Robinson projections for that. We still see double-digit touchdowns, probably 80-plus receptions, and well over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
All right. Moving down that list of third-year wide receivers, Eric, tell us the highest possible pick, regardless of format. Well, let's say standard format, 12 teams deep. What's the highest pick that you would take a Mike Evans with?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, my gut reaction was, you know, if I can end up getting Evans in the kind of mid to late part of the second round, early third, you know, that would be, you know, as high as I'm willing to go. You know, the one thing that has a lot of people concerned about Evans is about the number of drops, you know, that he had last year, you know, which was definitely concerning. But I think he ended up having too much put on his plate last year for where they really couldn't find a number two receiver, you know, in that offense. But I do like the fact that, you know, with Dirk Cutter, you know, for where they've given him the nod as the head coach and want to keep that continuity for Jameis Winston there, that, you know, I could see Evans having a much better year, you know, than he did last year. You know, where Winston, you know, has another year under his belt, you know, as an NFL player. You've got Evans, you know, who's also, you know, kind of entering, you know, the prime of his career. But, you know, I think he bounces back, you know, quite a bit. I can see him getting around 120 targets, you know, 79, 80 receptions, a little bit under 1,200 yards, and at least to bump up that the touchdown, his catches, you know, from where he was at last year, I can see him getting 8 and 9.
Sure, sure. And Brad, Eric's got, he's hammering Mike Evans right around, I think, that 20 to 30 overall player mark. You've got Evans at number 14 in your wide receiver rankings. You willing to take him in that mid-late second round, or if he falls to that third, I'm definitely on him. How about you, Brad?
Oh, yeah, I'd have to agree. That's great draft value for Mike Evans. I just don't think you're going to be able to get him there. I think there are quite a few people that are really high on Mike Evans, and I feel like there's going to be people reaching and taking him, you know, early second round, mid at the latest. So if he does fall to that, you know, late second, early third, yeah, great, great value. I would love to take him there, but I just don't think he's going to make it that far.
Yeah, and a lot of ADPs have him even in the first round in a 12-team draft right there near the back of it. I'm actually participating in a slow-style dynasty draft right now, and somebody grabbed him at number 6. Now, I'm definitely not going to go that high, but I mean, Evans, he's going to be the clear number one out there. He's going to get a ton of targets. And, you know, who knows? People kind of all over the map at him, but we're not letting him fall out of that third round, right?
No, yeah, you can't let him fall from there. Yeah, I know in that format that you mentioned, I could see people kind of taking him a little bit early. But I just always think for where, you know, recency bias, you know, impacts a lot of people. It obviously depends on the league that you're in, but you know, look back at what he did last year, and then that may, you know, influence them one way or another. But if he did select the second round, especially the middle part, I think that's a risk that you have to take with getting a guy like that who could be really kind of have a season that, you know, kind of solidifies, you know, his career. So I can easily see that happening.
All right, let's hit up one more third-year wide receiver while we got you on the line here, Eric. Brandon Cooks down in New Orleans. Now, Brad, you've got him a couple spots ahead of Mike Evans in your wide receiver rankings at number 12. I kind of think that rookie Michael Thomas is going to start cutting into some of Cooks' value. Eric, am I off? Is Cooks going to have another big year? I can see over 1,000 yards, but I don't know if he's going to match those numbers from last season. How do you see it, Eric?
Yeah, I see a player like Brandon Cooks. I can see him, you know, at least – replicating and adding on to what he did last year. Like, I've got him projected for, you know, 135 targets, you know, 86 receptions, you know, about 1,128 yards and 7 touchdowns. One thing about the Saints, though, is that if you look at their numbers, you know, over the past, you know, like 8 to 10 years, you know, Breeze, you know, really likes to spread the ball around. In the second half of the latter part of last season, 2015, you know, Cooks really established himself as like the number one receiving option in New Orleans. So I do see them building on that. One concern I do have is just in terms of the target numbers, just for where there hasn't really been a Saints receiver, I believe, since 2006 that has had more than like 142 or 143 targets. But I don't really see him eclipsing that. I think he'll come close, but I think he'll do enough to justify his ADP right now.
All right. You kind of agree with that, Brad? Are you still with us, Brad? All right. Might be having a little bit of difficulty there. Let me see if we can get Brad back.
Yeah,
Brad, you in agreement with Eric's breakdown of Brandon Cooks there?
I didn't catch any of that. I think I got disconnected.
All right. No, a little bit of tangled on.
It happens. I think we've all been there before. I'll kind of add a couple of other points to kind of fill in that space. There is one thing with the Saints though, is that in the NFC South, they have a lot of tough competition, so they're going to have to score a high number of points. You know, the Saints' defense has not improved. What was interesting last year is that, you know, the Saints, they ran, like, the highest number of plays, you know, like 1,096 plays. They had the second most pass attempts at 667 attempts. I can see that easily replicating itself, which will obviously favor, you know, Cooks, you know, and the other Saints pass catchers, including Michael Thomas, like you mentioned, who's slotted to fill the role of Colson in that offense.
Now, Eric, if you got a little bit more time, I would love for you to touch on one last third-year wide receiver.
No, absolutely. I'll stay on this as long as you guys will have it. Who did you have in mind?
Well, this guy, a lot of question marks here. I'm seeing him falling in some mocks. I'm kind of high on him even coming off an injury. But somehow the Panthers managed to make their way all the way to the Super Bowl without Kelvin Benjamin. What do you see from him coming off that injury that cost him a sophomore year after a big rookie year?
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to bring that one up. He, you know, Benjamin's a lightning rod in terms of, you know, just dialogue. You know, whether you're looking on Twitter or, you know, on podcasts, and that, he's a guy that really elicits a lot of reactions from fantasy players. So, you know, I think the one thing in 2014, you know, he was kind of thrust into that number one receiver role. You know, he was force-fed targets. You know, he had like 11 drops. A high number of his touchdowns, you know, came in garbage time, which kind of inflated, you know, his numbers. But, you know, I think the one thing that helped Cam, you know, develop as a quarterback was that he didn't have Benjamin there as a security blanket, you know, 2015. So he was really forced to leverage, you know, all of his options. So you saw Greg Olsen continue to have success. You know, Ted Ginn had some success. You know, Devin Funchess, you know, really didn't play the way that he was advertised. And so I think that only helps Benjamin that he comes back. He's obviously going to be a player that they're going to leverage. Their offense is pretty balanced, so I think that ultimately caps his ceiling. I'd only have him projected, you know, for anywhere from like 125 to 135 targets. I think he'll barely scrape over 1,000 yards. I think where he'll really make his money, so to speak, for fantasy owners, would end up being in the touchdown department. You know, I've got him projected for 10 touchdowns. But, you know, I like him just in terms of value and draft status. If that's a guy that you can get, you know, pass in the late third, early fourth round, and all this negativity may continue to drive his price down, you know, that's a risk I'm definitely comfortable taking in that spot of the draft.
All right, yeah. I've been high, like I said, I've been high on Benjamin. I actually, a couple weeks back, we were previewing the NFC South, and I actually, I think, caught Brad a little off guard there when I said I think he could finish in the top 10. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities, although I do tend to agree his targets could be depressed some from those other top 10 caliber wide receivers, especially in the Panthers offense, who's probably going to run the ball quite a bit. Brad, you've got Benjamin coming in at 17 in your wide receiver rankings. So are both you guys cool with calling him a strong number two in a standard league?
Yeah, I think so. I might not be quite as high on him as either of you, but I think he's in that number two wide receiver range. His touchdown production, if he can catch, you know, double-digit touchdowns, I think that's where his, you know, fantasy value is going to be. I've said before, I think that Super Bowl loser hangover, it always tends to weigh strongly on the team. So I see a little regression for most of Carolina coming this season, and Kelvin Benjamin should be a part of that. I think he'll still be effective, but I'm not quite as high on him as you guys.
Yeah, I would say
all right.
If I can get him as like a wide receiver three, ideally, I don't know if that can happen. You know, that would be a good spot for him. I'll take him as two.
Yeah, I took.
Oh yeah, the wide receiver three.
Yeah, I took him at wide receiver three in a mock just the other day. Trying to remember what round he fell to, but yeah, but wide receiver three territory for him is ideal. Yeah, I took him in the fifth round, 60th pick overall. So I would love, and that was in a 12 team. So yeah, I would love to get that kind of value out of Kelvin Benjamin. I don't see him falling that far. I feel like there's going to be, you know, guys like you that want to, you know, take him in that fourth round. So.
Now that's going to make me very happy, Brad, if he falls to 60 overall.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, thanks so much for doing this, man.
No, not a problem. I just want to, you know, thank the two of you for the invite. You know, it's always great talking football, and, you know, enjoyed the visit, and I, you know, hope to come back soon. But everyone have a good afternoon, and countdown continues to the start of the season, my friends.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little last-second plug on what you got coming up, say, between Fantasy Pros, RotoViz, or anywhere else, man.
Yeah, just real quick, you know, I know I'm getting amped up for my, you know, by the numbers column, you know, that I did last year at Fantasy Pros. I also have some analysis coming out on quality starts, snap counts, and also, like, offensive line rankings for RotoViz. You know, I've got some pieces that will be coming out here soon, something on Demaryius Thomas, and also continuing that series on third-year wide receivers where, you know, I'll hit on John Brown and Jordan Matthews and some other names. So definitely keep your eyes and ears out. Appreciate the support.
Oh, very cool, man. Where can the people contact you with any questions?
I would say the best resource would be Twitter. Very, very active.
Yep.
On Twitter. I know we kind of ran across each other that way. And so my hashtag, excuse me, not hashtag, my ID is at Eric N. Moody. So Eric, E-R-I-C, N as in Nicholas, Moody, M-O-O-D-Y. So feel free to reach out. Always happy to engage.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Eric. Have a good one.
Yeah, not a problem. Take it easy, guys.
Okay, Brad, really good segment there. A lot of good stuff coming from Mr. Eric Moody. I want to take a second before we move on here in the episode to give you all some info on the FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's F-A-N UP. Brad, let's hit on a couple of news topics that came through fairly recently here. Josh Gordon, the enigmatic receiver, often punished, trying to find his way back in the league, hit with another suspension, kind of delay to his reinstatement for a failed drug test back in March. He recently met with Commissioner Roger Goodell, and he's now eligible to apply for reinstatement to the league on August 1st. Does that spark any interest in you, Brad, to draft Josh Gordon, and where might you think about taking him, and how deep does the league have to be?
It doesn't really spark any interest for me in standard leagues, maybe some deeper leagues. Josh Gordon, he's just troubled individual, can't seem to, you know, get it together. Until I see him actually on the field and, you know, string some games together and not get suspended again, I'm really not going to be interested in him. I mean, when he was able to play a full season, just the sheer potential that he had, I mean, put up monster numbers. So, but there's just too much risk involved with him, at least for me to warrant looking at him in standard leagues. Maybe some deeper leagues, it might take a late round flyer on him, but nothing in standard leagues.
Yeah, and you alluded to it, over 1,600 receiving yards back in, seems like ages ago, 2013. From a personal standpoint, I hope this guy gets it together and gets back in the league. He's too talented of a player to have it all wash on that 1 year. Anyway, on to another news topic. This, I don't think this is really news. It's kind of expected for a 33-year-old running back, but the Colts coaching staff has kind of alluded to that Frank Gore will see a decreased role here in 2016. He's still the number one back for the Colts, but I don't think this comes as a surprise. He's up over 2,700 carries in his career, over 12,000 rushing yards. He's had a great career, most of it in San Francisco. Brad, where is it safe to draft Frank Gore, and can we really expect any kind of good numbers in a standard league.
I was already down on Frank Gore before this news came out. He's a late round guy for sure. He might have some value in fantasy this season because I mean Colts have got to hand the ball to somebody. I mean they can't throw it every single play, although they might try to. I mean, you look at it, last season his yards per carry dipped to 3.7. That's the first time in his career that it was under 4 yards per carry. I mean, some people will say that's, you know, because Andrew Luck was hurt, the passing game struggled. But I think it's more that age and a lot of carries on those legs catching up to him. And, I'm avoiding Frank Gore in most of my leagues. Unless he just falls really, really late.
In some deeper leagues or even some leagues where guys have Frank Gore and kind of relying on him maybe as an RB2 or a flex player, who's the handcuffs there in Indianapolis and who's relevant in that backfield? Who do we need to know about?
Well, I mean, Robert Turbin is the first name initially, and he's number 2 on the depth chart right now. I think, though, as the season progresses, that undrafted free agent Josh Ferguson will probably be the guy that you are going to want to have. He's definitely your sleeper type guy, Turbin just being that initial handcuff. If Gore were to suffer an injury early in the season, Turbin would be that guy they plug in. But Ferguson's got some potential. I think there's some buzz, you know, going on about him.
Yeah, that undrafted free agent, as you said, Eldon, from Illinois. This guy was quite a receiver in college. Last 3 years for the Fighting Illini, 50 receptions, 50 receptions, 37 receptions, and he's averaging over 5 yards a carry all while bringing in those passes. Could Ferguson just be the third down kind of change of pace back for the Colts in week one?
I think there's potential for him to be. Well, I guess that's something we'll just have to watch as training camps start and in the preseason and see what his role is being, what kind of role he can carve out with the Colts. Given Frank Gore's age, I think they're definitely, you know, going to try to get some other backs involved. And Ferguson being their young rookie, whether he being drafted or undrafted, obviously, that's not really going to matter if he shows potential and the talent to do that. I think he has a good chance to be that third down back. He's definitely shown in college that he's got that pass catching ability. So it'll be just something to watch.
All right. Brad, you came out with an article earlier this week over on WeTalkFantasySports.com, and this is kind of a entry-level, grade school, so to speak, version of some fantasy football. Kind of cliche standards there. Some of it reveals a little bit of how you approach some strategies. Brad, tell us where to start. What's the first step we take when we wake up on the morning of a day that you yourself liken to maybe a Thanksgiving or Christmas for the fantasy football fan? What's your first most important rule when you head to your fantasy draft?
Well, before we get to rules, I think the first thing that always comes with fantasy draft day is excitement. I mean, like you said, I likened it to Christmas morning or, you know, waking up on Thanksgiving, you know. So that's the first thing that I associate. And, yeah, this is just kind of an article I kind of wanted to, you know, give everybody some general, my general opinion kind of the way draft day, the way I feel, the way you should kind of approach it. And so, yeah, getting to that first step, most important thing, I think you need to know your league scoring system. You know, obviously, if you're drafting in a PPR, you need to know that so that you take wide receivers and running backs, you know, where it's appropriate. A running back's value changes a lot. You know, if he catches a lot of passes in a PPR league, his value goes up. So I think things like that are important, you know, whether quarterbacks are, you know, getting 6 points per passing touchdown or 4. You know, the value of quarterbacks takes a slight uptick. So I think that is the first step is to, you know your league scoring system.
All right. And you brought up PPR leagues there. I think the running back position, people might think wide receiver. Well, that's, you know, that's where PPR matters the most. I disagree. I disagree. I say running back is where PPR changes the game for me. And I like guys like maybe the Falcons' Devonta Freeman, who some people are kind of gotten down on a bit as an overall running back, but the Falcons are going to use him in their passing game so much. Give us some players, and do you agree on Freeman, that take an uptick in some of those PPR formats and only comes with knowing your scoring system, Brad?
Oh, I definitely agree that Freeman has a lot more value in PPR. You are higher on Freeman than I am in standard leagues, but I'm on page with you with PPR. And, backs like a Giovanni Bernard, Danny Woodhead, and then staying in the top five, David Johnson, his pass-catching ability, and Le'Veon Bell, those backs are, excellent PPR backs, the backs that are most involved. And when you get into late-round guys, even like your Shane Vereen types, maybe two or three seasons ago, I don't know if Shane Vereen's going to have as much value as he had in years past. Those type backs, get a huge boost in value in PPR leagues.
Sure. And let's drop on down in your article here and tell us a little bit about what you mean with take what the draft gives you. That's a section you wrote a decent little paragraph there about. I'm pretty much on board with what you had to say in that, but what exactly do you mean by taking what the draft gives you?
No draft is the same. You're never going to be in two drafts that are completely alike, that are going to go completely as planned. So you always need a plan A, plan B, plan C, sometimes even a plan D, because you never know who's going to reach on a player, take somebody earlier. You never know what kind of player is going to fall a few rounds. And so, take Melvin Gordon, for example. Where his ADP is right now, I think he's going to have value. I don't like the player per se. I'm not as high on him as you are, but if he falls, a few rounds, then that player has value. So you just kind of have to be prepared for, whatever comes. It's unpredictable. Nothing is certain. And so, you can't go in there, hard-headed and set on, I'm taking two running backs to start the, draft no matter what. If you do that, you're probably not going to have success, because you could be passing on a Jordy Nelson, a Dez Bryant that falls maybe to that, early second round or mid to late second round. You never know who's going to be there that could have some really good value. So just, be open-minded going into your draft.
Yeah, and I think that leads right into another point that you made quite clear in this article. Don't be controlled by the positional runs. Now, I'm contrarian by nature, Brad. You and I have done enough drafts over the years. You know I'm not falling for that, but I have seen one draft after another where a guy will just say, hey, there went five tight ends. I have to take one. That comes back to losing value on on potentially the best player available. If you've got two running backs headed into the sixth round, don't take one just because everybody's just like, RB2. Brad, what do you have to add to people not being controlled by those positional runs?
Yeah, I think that's very important to not fall into that trap. I mean, I've seen even the most skilled veteran fantasy players, over years and years in leagues, fall into that trap. Eighth, ninth round comes around, defenses. Everyone's picking defenses. Run on defense. So you start panicking, and I must have to take a defense. I've just watched four or five people in a row take a defense. It's time to take one because there might not be a defense next, round when my pick comes back. It's like you've got to, take a deep breath and don't worry about that. Focus on sticking to your strategy and don't fall prey to, the runs on quarterbacks, tight ends, running backs, or not running backs, defenses. So, just don't reach for defense when everyone else is.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, you don't even have to take a kicker, right?
I haven't drafted a kicker, I think, in 3 years, honestly. And this year I'm thinking about not drafting a defense, too. I've done three mocks in the last 2 days, and I haven't drafted a defense or a kicker in any of them.
Yeah, and I mean, and we say that kind of joking around. It is a roster spot in most leagues. But especially if you're going to do some earlier drafts, say a month before week one, 3 weeks before week one, you got a chance to add an extra positional player, put him on your bench, and then say, how does preseason play out? How does this roster shake out? Who's in what role for what team? And you've got the chance, especially in those earlier drafts, to grab somebody that you may not have had value. Suddenly they've got value at the end of preseason, and then you just hold them, drop somebody else, add that kicker week one, and you're good to go, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the strategy I would employ. But I would also say don't draft in July. Don't even draft in early August. Wait till at least week three of the preseason so you can avoid, you know, drafting Jordy Nelson and then 2 days later him tearing his ACL.
That is a particular shout-out to a friend of ours who got a little more than pissed off 2 days after we did our local draft amongst our friends last year. Mike Hett, we got nothing but love for you, brother.
Yep, much love.
Okay. I want to get to, I think, the most important question for draft day. And I am always – I make my selections very, very wisely. Or I try to. Sometimes I'm happy with it, and other times I'm like, why'd I do that? Brad, when round one starts and that first pick is on the clock, what type of food are you filling your face with?
Well, I don't know. I mean, chips and dip are always a good bet, or a guacamole dip of some sort is good. Wings, pizza, those are winning.
Chicken wing.
Yes. But no matter what food I'm eating, always got to have an ice cold beer in your hand.
Yep. Guinness stout. I will have one of those at some draft that I do coming up here in the next few weeks. All right. That's a good note for us to wrap things up here. I want to thank Eric Moody once again. Brad, giving it to us, giving us the basics of what you do on Fantasy Draft Day. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions on Twitter at Fantasy Flex Pod. Also, you can now check out the Fantasy Flex at your convenience on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or our main feed at Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, I'll try to brave this thunderous weather that has snuck up on me between now and then. I'm Nate. That's Brad.
Flex you later.